Pick up your paintbrush. It's time for Hobby Support Group.
Good evening, Andy. Good evening, Ed. Good evening, Ben. There's all four of us here. That can only mean it's probably Oval List Roundup Review time. Snazzy name for a show. We didn't decide what we're doing. Hello, Woo! Listeners. Today, we are looking back at our Oval Lists for 2023. Did some of us succeed? Did some of us fail? Did some of us rig the game by changing the rules as they went along? And what are we looking forward to next year to come up with rules, which we will try and at least abide to by June when we do a... how is the year going? Do we need to rejig the rules again? Evening, chaps.
Hello there. Evening. I think I'm going to have to go in front of a parliamentary reform committee and discuss my Oval List now. I don't know what I've done wrong.
I think I'm definitely guilty of rewriting mine and then still not fulfilling the rewritten writ. So we'll skip along.
Well, we'll get to that bit in a moment, won't we? So I know now that everyone's familiar what an Oval List is, a pictographic representation of the projects you hope to complete in the year. Obviously, and we've all been doing this for a couple of years now, haven't we, guys?
Yeah, and if listeners want more information on what is an Oval List in granular detail, check out the mini episode that goes up with this, which is Andy from the past explaining Ooh. What a Oval List is.
Or naive young Andy, full of hope,
and pre-orb Andy.
Ooh, I'm a changed man. I've got a streak of grey in my hair now from the orb.
So before we start in this, what potentially could be a mammoth show, are we all hydrated with beverages to hand?
Well, it's Christmas, indeed. So I've got a nice sherry and some Coke Zero to keep me powering through.
Lovely. Nice. I've got a nice mug of warm Ugandan tea.
Nice. Ooh. Nice cup as well.
Thank you. It's the periodic table of elements.
Mm. Ooh.
Lovely. Including lanthanides and actinides.
Lovely.
I have the tail end of a pint of Abba ale, and then I have a brandy and soda water, which means I've got quite an alcoholic menu for this evening. So my apologies in advance, but it's close enough to Christmas now for me to be in a kind of vaguely tipsy haze all the way through to the day itself. So
Ed is joining us from a pub from the 1970s. It's a shag pile carpet and velvet. Burgundy, as far as the eye can see. There's some horse brasses on the walls. He's got his brandy and soda water there.
Absolutely. I've just had a Plowman's. So.
Just got it from Colin behind the bar. Mandy's going to bring him his Plowman's in just a bit.
I've a pint of gin and tonic, complete with strawberries, having been out specifically today for getting the strawberries for them, in a pint glass, because as it's Christmas, why do things by half measures? And when you can drink them by the pint. Fancy. And I've also got a flag in the Vimto because it's HSG and can't record without Vimto.
No.
I'm glad we've adopted the fruity drink, Tom, as your Oval List sort of drink of choice. Because I think one year you bought something from a newsagent, a kind of fortified wine.
Yeah, that was the Rude Boy. That was
bought. That was it, yes. That was
the watermelon tonic wine.
Yes, yeah. I'm glad you're onto a fruity gin and tonic. Seems a bit more classy.
Well, the gin and tonic with the strawberry in is now my drink of choice, as people will see when I'm out and about, which came about by accident in the Wetherspoons when I'm playing Keyforge one evening, mm-hmm. and discovered that somebody who drinks, I don't drink a lot, but I do like a gin and tonic. A gin and tonic with a strawberry in is an elevated drink. Mm. And once you're confident enough to ask a bar person to please put me a strawberry in that instead of the lemon or lime, it's a much better beverage.
Excellent.
Listen to our future episodes for more beverage chat.
One of your five a day.
Although if you go to Derbyshire and you ask for a strawberry in it, you will instead get a frozen raspberry.
True story.
This is the hardship some of us live with in the North Midlands. Anyway, this is not drink chat. This is Hobby Support Group Oval List Roundup. So who would like to go first to discuss how their hobbying and Oval Lists went for 2023?
Well, you know, it's named after me, isn't it? So I guess I should go first. I think it's been a rip-roaring success. I said I'd do 12 projects. I don't want to jump ahead, of any spoilers, but I may very well have done that. And a few extra things along the way. Looking down my list, I think I did very well, actually. I think it was partly getting my wife and son leaving me alone for the summer for Paint Fest is always a good way to get some painting done. But actually, I think it was when I initially made my list, it was nothing on there that I thought was too crazy. Because in past years, I've really just chucked any old thing on there thinking, well, I've got a year. I can get it all done. But I did give myself a few that were low-hanging fruits that I know we could get done. I had one really particularly big project on there, but even that wasn't too big in the end. But shall I take you through what I did?
Please. I think this is, like many of our listeners like a list. This is the listiest list episode of the year. So, you know, by the end of the episode, hopefully people are going to be in sort of like list-induced coma. So let's start off with the first list.
Okay. So did some French Foreign Legion and some Moroccan horsemen. I got some lovely Blue Moon models ordered from Old Glory. I had some French Foreign Legion and some more Moroccans already painted. And I was really adding into my existing army. I wanted to expand it a little bit. And me and Ed even played some games with these models.
We did indeed.
We played Many Would Be Kings. I think I'd quite like to try out doing a bit of Black Powder maybe this year, Ed.
That would work, definitely.
Because I know if the French Foreign Legion are very expensive to have in the game of Many Would Be Kings because they are quite elite. So you don't get many of them, but you know, whatever.
It's a dynamic a lot of those scenarios for Black Powder. We have a very small elite force and a rather large opponent. And I think we haven't really played those scenarios and it's interesting to try them out.
Yeah. I mean, it's costing me a fortune to buy all these Moroccans, to be honest. I buy a few French Royal Legion. There we are, sorted. And then just keep buying more Moroccans to fight them. Anyway, painted and played with. Always good. I had some black scorpion cowboys, beautiful sculpts. I love painting cowboys. I picked them up on the sale last year, painted them this year, done. That was good. And to go with them, some plastic cowboys. That was my mystery box. Ooh, it's a mystery. Well, I bought some of the new plastic cowboys. Who are the guys who make Dead Man's Hand? Is it Great Escape Games?
Yes, Great Escape Games.
So I picked up some of their plastic cowboys. Again, really good fun. I took those over to Ed's and we've played with those already, haven't we, Ed? We played What a Cowboy.
Yeah.
And that was good fun. So, you know, played and painted. I'm doing quite well so far. I picked up, again at Salute, some 10mm Royalists from Pendragon. Now, Pendragon are my go-to for 10mm English Civil War. I think they're really, really nice. And I was a Royalist, so I picked up some guys from them. And, again, got those painted up quite quickly. It's just a fun project. I love painting English Civil War. And we've used them. We've already used them. We played the Battle of Marston Moor. Mm-hmm. We painted and played with. Excellent. Imperial Blood Bowl team. And this was a nice low-hanging fruit. I thought, you know, 15, 16 guys, do some oil washes, try out doing some bright colours. I'm not a big fan of the Imperial Blood Bowl human team. I'm not sure I'd use it over any of the other ones, but I picked it up cheap on eBay. It's one of the cheapest teams to buy, so I have painted it, but unfortunately I have not played with it. Da, da, da. 28mm War of the Roses army. I split that into two, my infantry and my cavalry, because I knew it was going to be a big project. The wife was away. I had loads of time to myself, so I just set up a huge production line. And to be honest, it stopped me from being lonely, just getting on and just getting them painted. We haven't played with them yet. Maybe that's something we can look at to play next year, Ed. I know you've got some War of the Roses stuff.
I do. They're very much unbuilt, but yeah, I can get around to that.
We can even play Warhammer Fantasy Battle like a few Bretonians.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
I've got a War of the Roses army painted up, ready to go. That's not been played with as well, so all four of us could potentially play. I made the sensible choice of making one big army that can be split into two smaller ones.
Yeah.
Ah.
But yeah, when I was planning my overlist, I didn't just put the infantry and cavalry and characters and cannons and go, oh, that's one big, just one block. And then from doing previous ones, sometimes you just need to split them up and go, okay, I'll get the cavalry done, tick, get my little dopamine hit of ticking the box, knowing it's done. Then I'll do the infantry, they're done, tick, you know, finish the project off and not try and just go, right, I'm just gonna assault this in one massive block. I think it's good to break it up. So, painted but not played with, but I think that's hopefully going to happen this year. Now, there were some changes. I had 10 mil. Oh, the shock, the horror. My 10 millimeter undead, I do want to get them painted. I do want to play Kings of War, my 10 millimeter undead. but instead, I painted the Flames of War, hit the beach starter set instead.
Close.
And it's a really nice box set, really good value. It's all painted up, it's ready to go. And me and Ed are going to be playing that next year. So,
yeah.
Andy teaches Ed World War II. It's going to be fine. You're going to learn lots of stuff. It's going to be great. Got Flames of War, hit the beach, all done. That was my undead. And mysteriously, my Carthaginians didn't get painted again, Tom. The listeners at home can't see the look of disappointment and anger in Tom's eyes as he looks.
And Ed physically fell off his chair.
I did.
Just go wait for inflation to like raise to a point where I end up buying them off him at some point and painting them myself. But it becomes now comedy / infuriation to have the Romans sat there just twiddling their thumbs, knowing these Carthaginians are somewhere on their way, but where are they?
Hey, Tom, I painted a unit of Gallic horsemen.
To go with the Celts as well, then not just... You have 10 mil Celts, don't you? You don't have 6 mil Celts yet.
No. Only if they're giants. For Morans, so they are coming at you. So yeah, the Carthaginians have stopped. I swapped those for some... I got some more 10 millimeter English Civil War, because I love it. So I had some Scottish clansmen and some clubmen. And I painted those up. And again, you know, we've already used those at the Battle of Marston Moor. So, tick, tick. So of those, 1, 2, 3, 4, of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I said 12. Actually, it was 9 projects I had. Like nearly half of them would have been played with. But over half have not been played with. That's not so good. Along with all that, I managed to paint a 10mm M3 Lee, a Mimic, a sprue of Epic Pusher Pike Covenanters, a team of guides for the Dooms, some Pusher Pike Epic Swedes, an Avery, which is lovely. You know, lots of things.
Beautiful.
Which is nice. And terrain galore wasn't there as well. Which I took to Ed's house.
Yeah.
It's a lovely terrain. So I did a complete oval list. I did some substitutions. But, you know, what's breaking a few rules and changing a few things between friends? We've done it before in the past. So I think as long as you change it for something and then you actually paint it, that's fine. Because what's it about? It's about getting things done.
Well, I think it is. I know it's we on the shows we talk about it all the time, don't we? How that there is no one way to do a list, how the list works, and how it's just a tool that helps you with each other's hobby. And I think we're probably going to discover during this show how like all four of us approach our lists very differently, and they mean very different things to us all. Like I know you said there, like you're disappointed that you've not played with like half of your stuff. I can tell you, I haven't actually played with a single model that I painted this year.
Oh my gosh.
And like, I painted lots of models. Not one of them have been played with. And it doesn't bother me at all. Because my list is structured.
Yeah, I paint things to play games with. That's what I'm doing. I'm always looking. And sometimes it takes me such a long time to paint the things that I want to play with that I don't play the games because my mojo has moved on to a different game. I'll be like, oh, I really want to play this. And then everyone's off playing the Doomed instead. And so, you know, you're not painting 6mm Carthaginians anymore because, you know, your focus has moved to something else. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if that's what you want to play and you've got models to play it. But, you know, I think for me, that's always the main impulse is to get things done, get things done, which is fun to play with.
Well, it's also a learning process, isn't it? Because I know, like, definitely while we've been doing the podcast, we've seen, like, games come which have been really hyped. You're really interested in them to come out. They come out. You build a force for them. The game then disappears within 2 weeks and you never play it again. But also, like, we all play lots of games that have been out for a decade or more.
Yes.
And I think, like, I know I'm much more focusing now on, like, making forces and building things for games that I want to play that either people are playing or have sort of, like, or like an evergreen game rather than going, oh, I want to really get into the Doomed. By the time I sort of built something up for the Doomed, probably everyone's probably, like, already moved on to do something else and, like, not necessarily worry about it, like, chasing what's the current zeitgeist. I want to do this.
Yeah, I know me and Tom were speaking this morning. I know, sorry if we have conversations outside of the podcast. But in the past, when we just played 40K, you'd build for 40K and you'd play 40K with them. And then every 3 to 4 years, you would then, you know, get the new rule set. But once you stopped playing 40K and started playing other things, there's lots of new things coming out, you know.
Yeah,
and you can't play them all.
You can't play them all. And I think also once you get to a critical mass, you go, I've got so much stuff I want to play with that I've already got that I want to play. And, like, I know, like, I'll do my list last, but I know, like, one of the big takeaways for me really this year is how little time I've actually had for gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how comparatively little time I've had for gaming and how my hobby time, like, has probably been, like, about halved this year because I've been spending time doing other hobbies. And it's like, I still love miniature painting and, like, building, painting and gaming models, but I also have been spending time doing other hobbies as well, which has, like, eaten into that time. And I think, like, most of us are adults, like, the biggest thing we probably are is relatively time poor. It's like, and that's the thing that we sort of struggle with. Well, at least I have this year, and I've just not been stressed about it. I'm very relaxed now that it's feeding into, I don't need to get these things painted because I'm just not planning on playing anything that I need to get stuff painted for, like, that next week because I just haven't got time for it. Like, I know, do either of you, like, paint stuff? Like, you know, I know actually you all do paint stuff, like, the day before you play with it, don't you? You're always, like, in a rush to get stuff painted.
My Doom stuff certainly was painted quickly because I wanted to play with it. And my 10mm English Civil War stuff was painted. The Klansman was there for Master Moore because we needed extra bases of Scots.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't particularly Klansmen, I think they're pikemen, but, you know, we still needed more bases, so they would certainly serve as brave Scottish troops.
I don't think I do that. I'm more of a work at things slowly over time and then and nibble away at them rather than try and work to a particular deadline. I think that's kind of more my style. So I'll be working on a project for ages and then.
But that's because your stuff's all beautiful, Ben.
Well, it's nice. Yeah, I like. It takes a long time though.
You like slow grow with your stuff, don't you? Been like Prolonic Fringe, for example, you've been like breaking out like a different unit or adding a different couple of units to the army, but like you've been like playing with what you've got painted for like a while, so it's not like...
Shall I do my list?
Yes, let's have another list. It's been 3 minutes.
I know.
I love a tasty pen list.
Withdrawals. So my list this year looked. It had a few specific things on it. It had four kind of specific Napoleonic units that I need to get done at some point. That I've got in the cupboard waiting to add to my army. It had four kind of other elements. But then it also had, it was 16 altogether, and then 8 of those boxes were kind of open boxes. 4 for existing units that I already had in the cupboard, 2 for new units that I knew I would inevitably buy this year, and then 2 more for just terrain pieces. And I've, of those 16, I've managed to do 10. So I'm relatively pleased with that. I could have done more, but I chose to do other things instead. And so I've got more things painted than are on the list, but they're not all recorded on the list, which I'm fine with, because actually I was really enjoying it. I think the problem I've got is I'm really enjoying painting. I'm really enjoying all the projects I've got on the go at the moment. So it's quite hard. I can't decide what to go to next. They all look good. They all look good to me at the moment.
Well, that's a nice problem to have, rather than going, paint any of these. I hate them all. Why did I choose this?
It is good. It is good. But the problem is, when I finish painting something and then go, I want to get painting on to the next thing, rather than actually playing with it. So I'm not playing as much as you are, which is a shame, because I've got some nice models. But I have managed to paint some and play with some this year. So in terms of stuff that I have got done this year, for Lord of the Rings stuff, I painted the Fellowship of the Ring. I painted the Nine Ring Race, and I put together terrain for the Barrowdown scenario, and me and Tom did manage to get that on the table. So we got to play with some of those, which was really nice. I managed to get some Night Gaunts painted up for kind of Cthulhu type gaming, which I've had in the cupboard for ages. So I was really pleased to get them done as well. And on the terrain front, I also managed to do some Star Wars, sort of scatter terrain, a spaceship and some box and some crates and things like that, which have been in the cupboard for ages, which I was really, really pleased to get done. And they've been used loads, actually. I find the terrain things are really satisfying to get done, because they get used loads and add so much to the game. So I really want to make sure I get some more terrain things done this year. Napoleonic-wise, they're just so big. And they take so much time. So I did one of the 4 units, but we did get them on the table almost straight away when they were done. So that they've come out a couple of times since they were painted. So they've been good. So I definitely want to. I'll have some Napoleonic when we get to the list later on there. And one of the pre-owned things was a section of Africa Corps for my 28mm Germans, which is another slow grow project that's been in the cupboard for ages, and they got done as well. The final 3 were all kind of the new project that I bought the models for last year and then started painting this year, which was 15mm World War II, and I've really enjoyed doing it. And I did.
Oh, I love some 15mm World War II. Oh,
it's been great fun. So I've got
love his tanks.
yeah. Oh my goodness. German Grenadier platoon's done, a British para platoon is done, and a German assault gun troop is done as well. But then I just was enjoying it so much, I just carried on. So I've got another platoon of Germans, another platoon of paras, plus some anti-tank guns and a heavy machine gun section for the Germans as well. And I think by the end of the year, I'll have 179 models for my 15mm collection finished. So it's been quite a big go, but I'm once I've got the last few done, I'll be ready for some really nice games, and I'm really looking forward to getting those on the table and having a bash with those. Everything's pretty much ready for that now, so that's going to be something exciting to look forward to in January. So all in all, though I didn't get some of those things that were on there done, I'm really pleased with what I got done this year. And there's other things that I've painted this year that I haven't mentioned that have been done and have been played with. So it's been brilliant. Yeah.
Sorry, Ben, which were the items? Which squares didn't you get done?
There's 3 Napoleonic units, which will get done at some point. There's a Warcry model, which is like one model. It's a big one, but it's one model, so that shouldn't take too long.
Mm-hmm.
Some Cthulhu cultists. The only reason I didn't get those done is because I still can't find the right heads. It's been a year. Can't find the right heads for these fellas. There's only 6 of them. And the other one was a 3D campaign map.
Yeah.
I really wanted to make it like a hex-based 3D campaign map that you can move around, make different arrangements off. I've got all the bits in the cupboard ready to go. I just need to get around to it. I think that could be quite nice.
Do you think you gave yourself too much to do? Because I reduced previouses just down to 9 squares.
I think if I'd really focused just on this, I could have got most of it done. I might have maybe missed out one or two of the Napoleonic units just because they're so big.
There's a lot to paint on them.
I could have, but everything else I think I probably could have done. But actually, I was just going where the muse took me.
That's fine, so, as long as it's still doing stuff.
And I was happy with that because it was models that I already had in the cupboard. I was getting them done, and actually, it was the thing I was excited about playing.
Yeah.
So I went with it, and it's been great.
Well, do what I do and just change your list to what you're doing instead. I'm like, is this big enough to be a project on my oval list? I didn't know at the start of the year that I wanted it to be. Now I'm going to change it so it is.
Not doing too much foreshadowing, Ben, but you might be happy when we do lists for next year.
Yes, I think I might
be a bit happy that the games I want to play may have been very heavily influenced by what do I know Ben's painted up?
Warcry? You want to play Warcry?
Yeah.
It's quite good fun, actually.
It's sure good fun.
I will take peer pressure into 15mm World War II. That's it.
it's an entry level. Next thing you know, it'll be
12mm World War II. Yeah.
Age of Sigmaring everywhere. Tom's got his Age of Sigmars out again. Come on, Tom. Someone take Tom home.
So I think next, in alphabetical order, which we seem to be going in, I think it's Ed next.
Well, my oval list was a very modest 6 squares, and I've done pretty well, I think. The first square was the British Napoleonics in 28mm. Last time we spoke in the depths of summer, I re-listened to the episode, and I think we were mainly just complaining about how damn hot it was. And considering now we're all sat in coats or draped in cloth, so that. It's always like half a year has gone. But anyway,
I think the Russians are going to shoot the ice from underneath us. Ed.
Yes,
I shoot us on the bridge or wherever.
Some
Napoleonic history of cannons and frozen water.
That was Ridley Scott's process for writing the script for the Napoleonic.
Yeah, I believe that was, wasn't it? Something about cannons and frozen water, please.
Anywho, I finished the Scots Greys since June, and I almost played with them. I was originally going to play with them in a game in early autumn, which I didn't get them ready for. But just this weekend, had a game of Black Powder, and we were going to have them come on as a reserve if we rolled well, and we did not roll well. So I painted them, I brought them all the way to Sam's house, and then they didn't get on the table. So that was a bit embarrassing. But anyway,
I've done a beautiful conversion with an officer in the mud,
yes,
holding out a pocket watch while being lanced. Is that right?
I'm sure someone's done a model of it somewhere. But yes, no, they're pre-skewering the models I've got. So yeah, that was my first square. Second square is the Dragoons and Storming Party for English Civil War in 28mm. That's left over from previous year, and I've almost done them.
Very much like my Carthaginians then, Ed.
Well, they're different.
Very almost painted them.
Well, I need to base them, but they're going to multiply in the new year. Because I just went.
Are you going to feed them after midnight?
Yes.
Get them wet.
Get them wet. Yeah, that's the one, isn't it? Sorry.
English Civil War. Really quite biting them pamphlets to recruit more to the cause.
Absolutely.
That's what they're doing over the festive period, pamphleting campaign.
If you feed a Puritan after midnight, he turns into a royalist, so be careful, everyone.
So, with the new release of more Bloody Miniatures and Bloody Miniatures Cavalry, I felt like I needed to get the backlog of 28mm English Civil War at least a little more done before I could justify buying more of those lovely models. So I've built a bunch of stuff, which I will be painting up in the new year. So it is, in the way, as with your Carthaginians, Andy, they are a kind of endless task, but I'm, like I say...
Actually progressing?
Yeah, definitely progressing. And
I haven't been working on them for 3 years and painted, like 12 Gallic horse in 6 minutes.
Well, the English Civil War Dragoons Storming Party, I would put about 90% there. So I'm going to do some highlighting.
Done, could you get them done by New Year's Eve, do you think?
No, no, I'm going to be in full-on Christmas tidy stuff. So yeah. Where I'm at is where I'll be. But that's fine. I'm happy that they're close to being done. Next is the big thing, which is the 6 mil Austrians, late Napoleonic War Austrians, and that's done, complete thing. I didn't buy any Lancers, so as part of my New Year 6 mil French, which we'll go on to at some point, I might try and sneak in some Lancers for the Austrians as well. But yeah, the majority, I've got an army that I can play with, certainly. The next square was terrain. I did three hills at the first part of the year, and I finally finished the trees, which we used in the Doomed and various other games that we played.
Very good trees.
I'm pleased with them. There were a couple of steps that I didn't get round to doing. I was going to put some flock on the base, but I don't. I think they work as they are now. I've just used a kind of gravelly grouting kind of thing, dry brushed it, and I think tufts feel unnecessary. So
you don't get a lot of grass normally growing directly under the tree, do you? You normally get all bare.
Not really, no, that's true. I mean, I was thinking maybe having a big puddle as well. There's like an indentation that I made. I was going to be filling it up with goop, but I'm looking at them, I'm happy that they do what they need to do. So I might even make some more at some point. So in my mystery box, I used that for my heresy guys. I bulked out my force so I could use them to play in the Warhammer World tournament that I was taking part in the first part of the year. And then heresy kind of stopped for me. I kind of tied it into up with a neat little bow and put the heresy back on the shelf. And the rest of this year's mystery box, as it were, to get two bites of the cherry, has been the Doomed and Sword Weirdos to a lesser extent. Mm. But I've really enjoyed putting together random kitbash guys, lasers on knights and all that kind of stuff. So that's the other part of my mystery box, and that will be continuing into the new year as well.
Can I just take you back to your heresy there?
Of course.
Which sounds like a really weird sentence out of context. unless you're an inquisitor or something.
Yeah, I bet heresy you're into in February. How did that go?
No one expects a Spanish inquisition.
But that was quite a big thing when it came out. Everyone was really excited about the heresy box set, the heresy rules. And it almost feels like it's been really outshadowed by the new epic. What's it called? You'll know, Ben. What's the new epic 40K called?
Was it Imperialis something?
Legion.
That's just Imperialis. Isn't that just 40K though? Like everybody was playing Titanicus, it seemed, mm-hmm. and then Heresy came out and everyone was playing that, and then the new edition of 40K came out and everyone's playing that again, and now it's Epic. I think people just probably just shift to whichever is the. At least it appears to me, people seem to just shift to.
It seems like it was like it was the hotness, and now Tiny Marines are the hotness.
Well, here's the thing. I feel for my own personal reasons, I stopped doing heresy. I enjoyed it, but I felt like I wanted to do other things. Also, the interest to me was to do the project, to complete the army, to play a game. I always find the challenge with these big Games Workshop games is that I just can't get my head around the rules. And I put a lot of time into trying to understand them. And I had an enjoyable experience, but I felt that I could, on my own terms, sort of put that on the shelf and say that was a just over a year of excellent hobbying and gaming, really enjoyed it, but now I'm going to move on and do some other stuff. So I felt like it was done for me for not sort of brand-driven reasons, I like to think, anyway.
You felt like you got your money's worth?
Yeah. Yeah.
I might return to this, but you were like, this is a thing I've done. I'm happy with the force, but I don't know how much you spent on it, but you felt like you got your money's worth.
Yeah. And I feel that it's often tempting from the outside to, because we're being driven by the publication, by the release schedule of Games Workshop, we make the assumption that everyone is now on to the next thing. But easy to forget that people are still playing like Heresy. Or, you know, a bunch of us know some folks who are doing a Heresy weekend last weekend, and that there are people who are still, I'm sure, going to keep going on with the 28 mil. There is a lot of talk about Epic. Lots of people were into it at the time. Leaves me a bit cold, but good luck to those who are going to enjoy it. I think the models look nice objectively, but it's wouldn't be my kettle of fish. I may do no G-dub stuff next year, but we'll get onto that when we talk about games planned for next year. Just final thing.
But himself, on, one second, Ed, but I think it'd be quite interesting to like listeners to hear from listeners as well. Though, it's like quite often, do you like end a project like or a game after you've been to an event? Because I know, like when I was playing a lot of Bolt Action and like trying to play competitively, quite often, like the last time I played with a lot of armies is when I took it to an event.
Yeah,
I'd like build it, practice with it, get used to playing it, take it to an event, and then once it like had its event, that was it. It was kind of then like done, and I kind of like, well, I've played with this. I don't really want to play. I don't definitely don't want to take it to another event because I've already taken it to one event.
You're doing better than me, Tom. I've got whole armies that I've bought, painted, and just put in a box, never even played with.
Yes, have I. But you know, it's just. But I know, like when I was doing events, is I think like I never would, even if it was like 40k or whatever, I never went to an event with the same army twice. It always seemed like an event always seemed to be like an external event always seemed to be the like the bookend of the project. I guess it's only like the big multiplayer games that we put on with the historical stuff where stuff gets played with repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
And like Napoleonic games or the ECW stuff where they get, they're the first games I've played where like I've done like a big thing with an army multiple times, not gone like just moved on from it. Maybe it's just because of the time commitment that they take.
I think it's good to engineer closure into a project.
Because
otherwise you're just going to get frustrated, you know, like, oh, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. I think, you know, let everything have a time, as I believe the birds once sung. I believe the Bible got there first, but you know what I mean? You know, let there be a time for everything or whatever.
A time to gather stones together.
Yes. but no, I do think that it's good to have an arc for certain things, and that's how the Heresy felt to me. It's not always as neat as that with wargaming projects.
Well, I think that's something that, as I've got older and matured, that I have learnt, and I learnt through years of mistakenly buying more and more stuff for the same army, and then being like not even playing with it.
Yeah,
just putting it away in a box. Right, that's three whirlwinds. Great, I've got those three whirlwinds done now. For what? For who? For why?
Yeah.
So I know I have them.
Well, I'm sure we've all been guilty of the. You play a game and, well, in the codex, I can take three of these. I never really field one, but because I can take three, I need three. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, you know, how many of us have built, like, well, I could take three squads of Devastators with heavy bolters if I wanted to. I've never fielded a single heavy bolter, but I actually need 15 dudes with them.
Yeah. It's that kind of thing.
What are you doing for my 15 mil World War II? Am I going to use a full German MG platoon of four tripod mounted MG42s? I don't know.
I would argue the Plastic Soldier Company might charge a little less.
Slightly less, that's true. That is true.
Those are 15 mil light machine guns or whatever you've got there.
Yeah, it's building all the light. I think the World War II equivalent, it's all the light mortars, isn't it? It's like building all these light mortars. Brilliant. Fantastic. Am I going to be using them all? No. Do I need them? Of course I do.
But again, I think this is years and years of doing that have taught me now to the point where I'm like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
I haven't got time to do that. And I'm playing all these different games. So partly, I guess, it's common sense and willpower, but also just like, I ain't got time.
There's a prize for the first listener who gets Andy to commit to doing like one-to-one company games. For like World War II listeners, start getting him doing Americans where he has to paint all the Jeeps. And you go, oh, I need like 16 Jeeps, which do nothing. They're just for like the typist's Jeep and all this sort of joy.
That is never going to happen. Maybe
if pressure starts now.
Tell you what, if a listener wants to like 3D print them in 15 mil and send them to me, I'll paint them up, I guess.
Think how look the
poorly.
Think how cool it would look on the table of just like the parking lot of all your HQ Jeeps and all that sort of stuff. The traffic simulation that you need when you need to start trying to get people moving to relocate quickly.
Yeah, you should do that first, Tom, and then show me how it looks.
I can show you in 6mm. I've already done it. Anyway, sorry, Ed.
One last entry on my list, which was the French Second Empire for the Crimean War. And I have...
The whole of the French Empire? That's pretty audacious. The French Empire.
Only the second one.
He's already done the first one. Painted that up already.
Fine. It's more, you know, contained until it wasn't. I have now base coated them. I've painted the base colours on two of them. So next year I plan to paint quite a lot more blue. But I've not near to finishing really, but a little further along. I think they're the one project that is the most unfinished so far, but still planning to complete them and use them for a skirmish game around the Siege of Sevastopol, possibly using sharp practice or another forager maybe. But that's the one thing which is the slowest on my list.
It sounds like you pretty much almost finished everything except those French
and the basing of the English Civil War stuff.
I mean, the basing, that's an evening really, is it? Isn't it?
Yes, I do have a slightly drawn out process for my basing.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah,
no one here is surprised to hear that. After travel to Shropshire to the field they fought in, get the dirt,
grind it.
I've sped up the process a little
Smoke
bit.
It.
I've been using grouting for the. For some of my basing, but I feel with the English Civil War guys, I'm going to keep the consistency of having the milliput with a little bit of graveliness in there and various washes and things, and you know,
Ed, that's good.
Get yourself a pot of Vallejo earth texture.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, seriously, it's amazing. Just paint the base brown, whack that on top, job done.
Yeah.
And what about the dry brush?
You don't need to. You don't need to. It already looks like it's dry brushed. It's really good.
Maybe for another project. I am sticking to my method for these guys. But I would say that grouting is definitely what I found is quick drying grouting, and you wait till it's about half dry, which is only like half an hour. You dip them in water so it breaks up, so you've got like a muddy caked kind of effect. But again, I'm sure with a professional product like something from Vallejo, I could probably just do that automatically.
I mean, I use like some like cheap grouting stuff sometimes, just to like when I'm basing a big like terrain piece, I just slap it on to fill in. I use tin foil over it, and then
of course
cover the tin foil with the grout stuff. Just to why waste all the good stuff on just some terrain?
That's my overlist anyway.
I think it worked really, really well.
Oh, thank you.
And I've actually, I'm kind of went off a tangent, but I think it's really good that you were building limitations into yourself, saying, no, this is going to be the end point for this project. That was really good.
Cheers.
Who's left?
Oh, I guess it's me to mosey on into my record of achievement. So when we did the like roundup in July, I like binned half of mine because I'd picked up the big 6mm ECW project and realised that was going to take me quite a long time. And it has taken me quite a long time and I haven't got quite as much of it done. But I did take a couple of diversions along to where I'm getting. And actually, it was only today when I was like actually drawing up the infographic that you'll post on the Facebook group to show how much I have got done. I've actually got a lot more hobby done in this last year than I thought I did. Mm-hmm. Despite me going into this year, I kind of, when I drew my overall list up this time last year, I planned to kind of like have the same amount of hobby time that I'd had in previous years. But I also set myself some like outside wargaming hobby goals that I wanted to do. So I had like my hobby project, my overall list last year, I think I had originally like 30 things on it. But I also set myself the goal that I wanted to read 50 books and I wanted to see 100 films at the cinema. Like, I've managed to read like 58 books, and I've seen like over 200 films at the cinema. That's taken up like a lot of my spare time. Like, spending like one day every other weekend in the cinema has, like, you know, obviously eaten up my hobby time and eaten up my hobby budget. But anyway, so what I've got done this year is quite a lot, and a lot of it is terrain. And like a lot of the terrain has already been played with. So I'll go through the terrain first that I've done. So I've done like 10 meters worth of 6 to 10 mil scale stone walls, a modular river that is, can be sort of like 6 foot long or 12 foot long, and it can be various widths, which is really good. Some like 10 mil scale strip fields, which Ed and I have played on, and they look quite cool.
Absolutely.
So yeah, built a number of built up areas using the Brigade Minis, like 2-3 mil scale buildings, the churches, farms, rose terraces. So they're sort of quite useful for like scale agnostic stuff when you want to. And then I built many, many meters of hedges. Again, like 6-10 mil scale, sort of agnostic. Like, I think a scale agnostic hedge, I think, is quite easy to do, because you can be, well, it's a 6 foot high hedge or it's a 12 foot high hedge. Well, you know, like 15 foot high hedges, which are like 20 feet thick or whatever, ridiculous. So I've done that. Also made like a very crude rough and ready battle mat to play with at my house. Did some field fortifications, which are like various bunkers and sort of gun emplacements. Did a number of hamlets and farms, again using the Brigade Mini stuff. And then some hills and woods, and like made quite a large wood, which is worth for like the ETW project and the Hurtgen Forest. It's like, yeah, it was a big project. It's like a good like 3 foot square solid wood, all built in little places, little bits. Also this year I managed to do the oldest project I had still on my oval list, which I think had been carried over from the like the original version we first did back in like 2020, which was my Freikor. I finally done. And so like I used in one of my mystery boxes for some like high strangeness Xena's Rampant uses, which is based like the Freikor and some like paper panzers from like a Kugel ball and that sort of stuff, some bits of weirdness, so I can play some like strangeness Xena's Rampant. Then in going down a scale from 28 mil, that was the only 28 mil stuff I actually painted this year. Then going down to 20 mil, I did the carrier core for my like Germany, South Africa, World War One slow go project. You know, I bought a lot of that in 2022, the 20 mil hat stuff. I painted one box of it, and then moved on to 6 mil stuff and just sort of like put that project to bed. For the time being, it's a project I will get back to at some point. Then I got the 6 mil successors painted up, which I decided were some Pyrrhic successors, which I bought off Andy a while ago. Got those painted all up. I had to buy a few bits and pieces to like bulk them out to make them into a sort of like a legal army for Hail Caesar, because they were I think you'd bought them off eBay, hadn't you, Andy, as like a random job.
Random. I saw they had elephants in. I got very excited, so I bought them.
Yeah.
Because like, she doesn't want to paint elephants in 6 mil.
Yeah. Everyone. I think they probably were at one point, like the actual Bacchus, like Hail Caesar army that they sell with them. But they obviously, like whoever had originally owned them, had taken some bits out. So they were just like missing bits and they were adding a bit. Anyway, so they're done. And then the other 6 mil project that I've got finished is my World War II Hurtgen Forest stuff done. So I've got my US Army 26th Infantry Division, and I initially aimed to do like a German Kampfgruppen, because it was just going to be bits of random stuff, and I ended up doing a full one-to-one Panzergrenadier company. And then after I thought that was quite good fun, quite like that. So I did a one-to-one Pioneer company as well. And then went to Joy 6 and got so much secondhand armor and all sorts of weird stuff than it ended up with the Kampf Group anyway. So the Germans are a lot bigger than they intended, but the 6mm, so it's fine. The US are sort of like struggling a little bit on, like, if we were to play a pitched game, but Joyous Six in the US reinforcements have got, there seems to be like quite a few sort of like Canadians which had got sort of like hoovered up into that sort of drive, so they've got, had some plenty of sort of like reinforcements for when they get round to doing them. But the Canadians I didn't paint up. They can do any discipline with troops. And then moved on to the ECW stuff. And I'm actually doing quite well with this, really. Like, I've got all the Royalist foot to do done. I've got all the artillery for both, like, the Royalists and the Parliamentarians, all the Limbers and everything done. And I'm very close to having the Dragoons done. So all I've got left... all I've got left to do is the Royalist and the Parliamentarian horse, which is about 1,000 6mm horses. And then the Parliamentarian foot, which are 5 of the big base battalion. But as I said, I want to get the... my aim is like end of February to have most of this army done. And I think I'm probably going to be about all right for that. I don't think it will all be done by the end of February, but I think it will... I think I'll be definitely at the point where I can start playing with it by then. Okay. Yeah, and so like I didn't get done even from the force that like I in July when I redid my list, I planned to try and do the 1914 BEF and the 1914 German division in 6mm. Didn't get either of those touched. Didn't get my Bavarian Soviet Republic stuff touched or a box of the Ascari done for the 20mm stuff. Simply didn't have time. And like I ended up doing a lot more of the terrain because my plan originally was to try and get to focus on painting the ECW stuff before Christmas and then do the terrain in the new year. But I just sort of got onto a bit of a terrain kick and enjoyed doing it. And then when I was doing the, after I'd done the Americans, I thought, oh, I could really do with, after I'd done the 6mm World War II, so I thought I could really do with the forest. I might as well get that made now. And it can sort of like be playable. So that's sort of my list. So I think I ended up doing like slightly over half of what I'd initially planned. But I had like my original plan had been like very optimistic and had been like, I would say realistically me being able to put in sort of good 15 hours a week hobbying. And like, I've not managed, like some weeks I'm not managing like 2 hours. So like definitely it's picking up a bit again at the moment. So like, yeah, just that's my list. So like, I didn't achieve what I got, but I'm pleased with what I did.
I think you did really well. Yeah.
I think the one of the most impressive parts is all of that scenery that you've got, because there was a point when you just seemed to be churning a table's worth of scenery a week, it seems, on the group. And it's like, It was. I think that is just going to be, like, when you come now, you can come to play games with it because you've got so much painted, you've got so much scenery. Those games are going to be so good.
Yeah. Well, like, I will admit, like, when I really like making scenery, but how I make scenery is I do make it thinking like I'm trying to make a table's worth at a time, and I think like especially like my forest, like my individual clumps of trees, like on their own, they look all right, but they look more like a bundle of bushes really, but when you've got 100 of those on the table, they kind of look really good. And I think it's like I try to fit the middle ground between doing something that's as good as I can do in an appropriate amount of time, that what I have doing is like I could spend 500 hours making a forest that looks amazing. And like I did do a trial run makes like a forest that would look amazing, but each individual clump of trees takes over an hour, and it's like a 2-week process with all the various drying and all sorts of stuff between the process. Or I could do something that I can make, you know, a fraction of the time, and is going to be more robust and usable for what I need. I'm taking the more robust need thing as I do, because the terrain is like a side project of what I'm doing. Like I could, if I had the time, I think I probably would just spend most of my time just making really nice scenery. But I haven't got the space to like store it or the time to transport. Like, I need terrain that I can chuck in a box and like take to Ed's house, take down the club, chuck on the train or whatever. So it has to be, you know, you can give it 2 or 3 coats of varnish and it chucks in a box. But thanks.
I think I speak for everyone here when I say that if you were listening at home and you've all your managers, you know, undercoat some models or paint one or two, that's fine. You know, don't judge yourself on what we're doing here. We're just trying our best to get different things painted, and we've all managed different amounts and different quality paint jobs. You know, whatever you're doing is absolutely fine.
I know, like, one of the huge things which really truly is like a bit of a game changer for me is I haven't bought a single model this year that wasn't on my oval list, that wasn't on the list, and isn't either painted or currently on my painting table. Because the only models I bought this year, the whole of the year, are the ECW stuff. And I bought one lot in June, and I bought some other, apart from a few bits and bobs, I bought a salute, which I can't remember, but like there weren't very much, and like, it's all been painted. But like I bought like some of the 6mm ECW stuff at Salute. I bought another job lot of stuff in June at Joy 6, and then I didn't buy any more models at all until the other week when I ordered the cavalry from backers for the rest of the 6mm stuff. And that's already on like my painting area being cleaned up and ready to be primed. So, and that I think is like, for me, one of the biggest changes that the oval list system has brought into place. It's really drilling home to me how much I get through, what I'm buying and what I'm not buying. Because again, Andy and I have had like behind the curtain chat where we're just chatting, I think we might be playing some Keyforge, and we both sort of realized that over the years we'd kind of been like overbuying on projects by sort of like 2 or 3 projects a year kind of thing, hadn't we? And how they just sort of like quite quickly, you know, if you're buying 3 projects a year more than you're getting through, you know, every 3 years you're adding another year to your hobby backlog. And I think that's, for me, that's one of like the big takeaways. Like, well, I don't feel like I need to do like a list of like, well, I've painted 376 models and I can now buy in 418. I don't need to feel like I need a spreadsheet for it. Other people might do, but I do know, I do feel really good knowing that I've not bought any models in that are just sat on the shelf.
Yeah, if you can always paint more than you buy, you're heading in the right direction. I think when we're younger, we're all struggling to afford to buy the models, and we're lucky enough to be in a place now where we can afford to buy models, but it's having that willpower just to say, all right, it's 50% off, but will I paint it in the next 6 months, or will I see it again at a discount later on in the future?
So shall we jump into our lists for next year?
Yes, I'm very excited.
I was going to say, Ed and Ben, have you found your lists have helped you this year?
Yeah, no, certainly. I think it kind of keeps a lid on it.
More than last year?
I feel like I've got the right balance between having the list so that I have certain landmarks that I want to get past, but at the same time having enough flexibility that I can just do a random thing. So I like to be able to do some random stuff throughout the year, some things I pick up or may not finish, but I also like to have, you know, at least one big project and a couple of other goals that I want to get done. So that's how that's worked out for me.
I mean, that's how I did it as well. I had the War of the Roses, but that was my big project.
Yeah.
And then a few other little things.
I think similarly, I think I reduced the number from last year down quite a lot this year because it was 25 boxes last time. Some of them were quite small things, but reducing it down to 16 and also building in more flexibility just to have pre-owned something from the cupboard that I had already as a box rather than a specific thing. Just that flexibility was really, really helpful, I think. I think great. It's kept me focused on painting the things I have rather than being tempted to get more.
Yes. Tom.
Yes.
Let's get listy.
Okay, am I jumping into my list then? Am I going first this time? Doing it backwards, or are you going first?
What do you think, kids?
I think backwards, maybe.
Okay, get double Tom list action.
Oof.
So, my list for... Like, I've actually come up with two lists for next year. I've got a modelling list and a gaming list. Because I know we've been talking, all of us have been talking about how we actually want to get more games in. And actually be having a bit, I think having gained the tick, I've played this game, I've got the tick, will give me the kick up the backside to play it. And so with that in mind, I have been, I think, realistic in what I've put on my overall list, in that like what I've got on this list, I really want to try and get it all done. And I hope when we do the like 6 month review thing, it's nearly all done. Or we're at least there. So it's there's a mixture of terrain, some 6mm, some 28mm and all sorts. So 6mm terrain. I want to do some more hamlets and farms. I've got a 10mm MDF whitewash village I want to paint. Got some earthworks, some trenches and stuff I want to do, and some hills. That's my 6mm terrain. The ECW stuff, I've got the Royalist horse to paint, the Parliamentarian horse, the Parliamentarian foot, and some dragoons. In other 6mm stuff, I've got that 1914 BEF division and the 1914 German division. In the 20mm Africa project, I just want to do a box, one troop box of whatever it is that takes my fancy. So it might be the Askari, might be some just trooping, might be anything. Mm-hmm. The 28mm stuff, I want to get my Bavarian Soviet Republic done. And I also want to do my bloody miniatures stuff. Then I've put myself two boxes of something old. So they're just something out of the cupboard, whatever they might be. There might be like some marginalia. There might be a diorama. There might be ever. And then a who's knows box in case something new sort of pops up. So as I said, like, you know, hopefully I will get all of it done within, you know, hopefully we'll have quite a lot of it done by the time we do the 6 month review, and then we can have a look at how that goes. So there's 16 things, we'll see how we go. And then in the games, I also added 16 games because I thought it would be, and like some of these are relatively low hanging fruit, but I think getting these ticks off, I think we'll hopefully get them through. So there's some Keyforge, some Warmaster, some All Hell Let Loose, the 6mm World War II game. Once Upon a Time in the West Country, some ECW small scale stuff. Some Dungeons and Dragons, Men Who Would Be Kings. Chain of Command, this Accursed Civil War, which is like a Hex and Chit ECW set war game that Ed and I are playing soon. Mm-hmm. Some Kings of War, what I've listed as a bonkers 60s or 70s war games rule set. Again, Ed is nominated for that. Pikeman's Lament, a World War I game. Some Xena's Rampant, some Middle-Earth strategy battle game, probably some Black Powder, and some Polymos English Civil War. So I think that is like quite both. I think like quite a lot of games to want to try and get in.
Mm.
But I think it's also realistically quite achievable because they're all things that we've talked about wanting to play for ages or are sort of like on the list to sort of play. I think like the only things that will probably take like a bit of like a kick to play is probably like the World War One game and Kings of War, because it just means sort of like stepping out of our like general regular comfort zone to play something else. There's like four ECW games, two World War One games, some fantasy, and then all sorts. So that's what I'm sort of hoping to do next year. And again, we'll see how we're doing sort of come June with those. I think, you know, to be honest, I'm planning on playing like again like at least four of these ticked off sort of by the start of the new year. So
I think as Tom said there, we had all been finding, you know, we've been doing these oval lists for a few years now and getting through quite a few projects. And finding that we had lots and lots of painted models and lots of armies and lots of models to use, but not necessarily using them. So let's, you know, let's play those games and use those models. That's what they're there for. Do you want to go next? I think it's Ed next, isn't it?
Sure, yeah. Well, with a view to focusing on new games, I've actually got a very stripped back list for painting in 2024. My oval list has four squares.
One for each chaos power.
Yes. I don't
first
know where...
I will paint in blood, then bile.
And then we'll leave it there.
So we'll leave it there.
Moving on. The French Second Empire, I'm going to finish those guys off. So I've got my Chasseur de Pied. That's not how you pronounce it, but that's close as I'm going to get. And I'm going to also do some Zouaves. Most of the Zouave models you can... for very fancy lads. And also, I'm going to green stuff some beards on them. Because all the photography from Crimean War, they had lovely bushy beards. I don't know if that's just because those were the guys the top brass chose to be photographed.
Yeah, the photogenic ones. Get in the front lines.
The guys who couldn't quite grow a beard, or, you know, a bit not particularly well fed. Those guys were kept out of the photos. I will be going potentially with the heroic version of the Zouaves, perhaps a little different from the reality. Maybe they got stuff done. They were very impressive.
Someone does like STLs for 3D printed beards.
Yes, I could do that. I mean, head swaps might be an option, but I think I have green stuffed a beard before, so I'm feeling relatively.
You're a man of the world, Ed.
I mean,
I've green stuffed a beard before. This isn't my first time.
So I'm going to finish Chasseur de Pied, and then maybe do some Zouaves as well. So that's the first one. More English Civil War is my second. And again,
shocking.
20 mil. Sorry, 28 mil.
I'd say 20 mil. He's down 20 mil now.
It's been a while since we started it.
It's the one scale.
It's been a while since we started a new scale of English Civil War. And I, for one, salute you.
I don't know if anyone does do 20 mil English Civil War. I'm sure someone knows.
I'm sure there is.
Oh, you're telling me that there has 20 mil.
I would be amazed if there isn't a tutorial out there somewhere of how you either convert Napoleonic Airfix riflemen or 8th Army World War II Airfix figures into
I have the Airfix Guide to the English Civil War, and they do say you should try and convert your
irregular miniatures to 20 millimeter.
Ah, well, there we are.
There you go.
But I'm not doing it in 20 mil. I'm doing it in 28. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. There you go. That was the first one that came up. Eureka. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I just say no to 20 mil English Civil War.
Or say yes if that's what you want to do. But Ed is not doing that.
Yes, just not me. Not me. Thank you. I'm just sticking with my 10 mil English Civil War or my 28 mil English Civil War. So I've worked out with the bloody miniatures. I can do a couple of units, which I still haven't started painting, of a kind of Forlorn Hope, and also some guys that will act as extra clubmen. So I'm looking forward to doing those. I've been removing the mold lines and gluing them together, and that's definitely going to be part of my plan for next year. The third thing is the big project for next year, which is a 6 mil Napoleonic French army. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy a bunch off Sam because he started but then didn't finish, and then when I go to the Joyous Six, I'm going to pick up a bunch of 6 mil French as well, is my plan. So the fourth one is
we've got lots of other 6 mil.
Well, and also with my Austrians, I can do both sides if someone wants to try and play a game of 6 mil Napoleonics.
If we're not there with our models,
I'm coming a bit late to the game, but I really enjoyed the 6 mil Austrians last year, so that's going to be a staple of my hobbying, I think. The fourth and final one is Weirdos, which is
abroad. Scolded us.
Yes.
Tiny Tom, Tiny Andy, Tiny Ben. Now, I as I was saying before, with the Doomed putting together lots of weird things by mixing and matching different kits, I have a plan. We'll talk about this when I get to the list of games that I want to do. But I have this idea to try and string together games that I'm playing anyway, like the Doomed, Sword Weirdos, Xenos Rampant, which I don't currently play, but I do plan to play. I want to use those as kind of different ways of playing something as part of a very loose campaign. So I've put together, I'll share it on the Facebook group. I put together a kind of scenario document for a kind of sci-fi fantasy world where you can, where it makes sense why you'd have people in plate mail with machine guns and barbarians with lasers and all that kind of thing. So just a very loose thing where I'm going to try and do a kind of broad narrative, stringing together games. It's very system neutral, so you can play wherever you want. But
I don't think you ever need an excuse to have barbarians and lasers.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. But this
called the 1980s.
Exactly. Yes. So it's going to be a very 1980s. Raid the costume department, see what you can get put together. So yeah, that's my fourth thing, is just continue to do kit bashing and various different sort of whatever I can put together. Those are my four painting oval list objectives, and then games. There's a lot of crossover here with Tom's list. Games, so the first thing is the War Games Research Rules Research Group. Their rules for 1750 to 1850. I think the plan is to play that in January, I think, Tom?
Yeah, that's given its full title, I was the abbreviated the Bonkers rule set.
Yes. very advanced at the time, but some things have moved on, you could say. But I'm going to try and play it with an open mind.
I'm really looking forward to it. I am going to make sure the printable calculator is fully charged.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's probably going to be useful.
I'm also going to be playing the Hex and Chit game with you, Tom, English Civil War game. So that'll be something to look forward to. I've not done a Hex and Chit game for ages, but they are. I did one with a friend of the show, Michael. We did some World War II Pacific Theatre games, and it's a very different experience, but it's a lot of fun. Going to play some Sharp Practice. I'm currently moonlighting from the Hate Club. I've been doing the London Wargaming Guild. There's a bunch of people who play Sharp Practice, so I've had a couple of games of that, and I'm hoping to continue playing as part of their campaign. They're doing the Peninsula War, and also I want to try and the objective with the French Second Empire guys is to do Crimean War using Sharp Practice. So yeah, that I'm going to play some more of that. I'm going to play In the Buff, which is the planned Two Fat Lardies English Civil War rules. My understanding is that they're planning to put something out next year, which is very much a skirmish level English Civil War game, in part inspired by the Bloody Miniatures collection.
Yeah.
So if I'm not playing In the Buff, I will be playing another English Civil War skirmish level thing. That's on the list. Already discussed the Kit Bash campaign includes at least three systems, maybe more. So more the Doomed, more Sword Weirdos, and some Xenos Rampant. On my list of kind of ambition, I was thinking, and I've spoken about this in the pod in the past, I wanted to try and do a big scale game which wasn't Black Powder in the Napoleonic era. So I'm going to try and play Soldiers of Napoleon at some point, which I've heard good things about, which is a very different kind of game. But that's something that I want to try and give a go.
Is there Fortitude and Valor as the Perry's?
Yes, that's a different game, but it is also of interest. I mean, if anyone wants to give it a try, it's got a card pull mechanic, but in other
respects, we could try that in 6mm because I only have 6mm Napoleonics.
I'd totally be up for that. I think it'd be good to try it out, and seems relatively straightforward.
That's a caveat, you only have 6mm Napoleonics.
I was gonna say,
isn't it, Andy?
You could have 28.
I only have painted 6 mil of Napoleonics. We'll say no more. Sorry, Ed. We'll say no more. I just distracted you from your list there.
No.
I was going to invite you to play more Napoleonic games with me.
You know me. I wouldn't.
Ow, my arm says it. Twist your arm.
I mean, that's the thing about Napoleonic rule sets. There's so many, so it's, you kind of have to narrow it down, I think. I would like to try other things than Black Powder. But having said that, I do want to play more Black Powder. We've spoken about doing two big historical battles. Austerlitz is one of them, because I have the Austrians, and our friend James is working on Russians, and we certainly have access to French. We've also had a discussion in the latter part of next year. I might be stealing your thunder, Andy, so apologies if I am.
But there's October for the anniversary.
Yes.
Well,
Leipzig.
Just the anniversary. I don't know if it's any particular big year for Leipzig, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was in October, the battle.
Yes, and I think given the amount of sort of German allies that we might have to be painting from scratch, I think probably giving us till October is a smart move. Those are two things that I think we'll be using Black Powder to play, unless we suddenly come across a rule system that we start playing and going, this is what we should be playing. But I suspect it'll be Black Powder.
I think on October, if we did like a big project in October, I think it's quite good, because it means we can be planning it in the summer, pick the stuff up at Joy 6.
Yeah.
We've then got the summer to paint it. That sort of makes sense. And I guess, I could see myself possibly picking up some allies. Go with my French or something in the summer, depending how things are going.
So, I think Neil said he was interested, so that's
I have my Prussians. I got my Prussians. I was thinking about maybe to Duchy of Warsaw or some sort.
Yes, very, very key sort of part in Polish history is Leipzig. They very much featured. Andy teaches me Second World War. That's on the list. My caveat was, my conditions were, I will do no preparation beforehand. I will turn up and you tell me what to do.
That's fine.
I'm interested to give it a go, because I don't really know anything about anything when it comes to Second World War gaming. And then the final thing is there with a bunch of question marks behind it. I will see what the old world rules are like. The old world rules are coming out. I already have an Empire army, so I have extra bits and bobs that I could paint and grow the Empire army. But I will see what the rules are like, and if I don't like them, I will continue to play 5th edition Warhammer Fantasy. But I'm leaving myself open. If the stars are aligned and if it's an enjoyable game, then I'll be down for that. But that's my list.
That's a good list. I like it.
Thank you.
I'm glad you've not bowed to peer pressure from anyone to put various games on there that other people want to play against or with you, from Flames of War to Hex and Chick games to 70s rule sets.
He stood his ground.
Yeah.
No, I love a Hex and Chick game. I think when you suggested that we play this, I was biting your arm off.
I will make sure to have punched all the chits out before you come round. We won't have a repeat of the command and colours thing.
Chitgate.
That was all the admin stuff. That's part of the fun,
Just need to find someone with like a big like A3 an A2 laminator to laminate the game boards, and then we're all sorted.
Hmm.
Anyway, so Ben, then, on to...
Yeah. And I'm glad to hear about your love of Hex and Chit, Ed, because that might come up in a minute. So I've got a 16 kind of square oval list planned, and what I've done is I've included on that both the painting and the playing on as one cohesive lumpoid. And the reason for that is because I've been painting as I said earlier, I've been kind of getting through projects and getting to the end of projects and getting excited about the next one and just carrying on with that rather than actually playing the games. So I wanted the... I found the Ovalist very helpful for keeping me focused on a particular thing. So I wanted to have less things to paint and more impetus to actually play the games.
Yes.
And so I thought keeping it all on the same thing, keeping the same number of squares as I had this year, but actually replacing a few of them with actual games will give me the push to actually get those games on the table. So I've still got a healthy number of painting things. So I've got eight things on there that I really want to get painted. I've got four of them are just kind of empty boxes for something I already own. So a unit of something I already own that's in the cupboard waiting to be painted. And one box for something new, which I want to inevitably buy at some point during this year. And then three spaces for things that I already have. So one is, and I was pleased, Tom, that you had Once Upon a Time in the West Country on there, because I've got 12 kind of bloody miniatures that I got as a gift for my 40th birthday, which myself and my friend Rob are planning on playing some skirmish ECW with. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's totally. And I feel.
Are they
I
doing
feel
20 mil? 20 mil.
I want to be. I feel like I need to be down with the kids.
That's too hipstery. Doing it in 20 mil is hipstery. We don't fall Shoreditch on this show.
hipstery in 20 mil with a green stuff beard. Yeah. A very coiffured green stuff beard. Very hipster. I've got my 12 bloody miniatures to get painted. So I'd like to do a nice paint job on them and get them done and played with. I've got some Uruk-hai scouts. So Tom, I was pleased you had the Middle Earth strategy battle game on your playing list, because once they're done, I'd like to get them on the table. And also a Napoleonic unit, which will probably be finishing off my Blackwatch Highlanders, which need another 18 models, I think. But it could be
that's the just one rank. Is that the front?
That's just one rank, yeah. So I've already got 18 done, so I need to do another 18 to finish the unit because I'm silly. But it could be the 3rd Regiment of Cuirassiers or the 28th North Gloucester, which needs to be done as well. Or maybe both, maybe all of them, if I feel.
Reach for the stars.
I know. Climb every mountain high. So that's the painting I'd like to get done. So it's relatively open. But with a few specific ones I really want to get done. Then there's three squares which I'm leaving for some terrain, but specific bits of terrain. One is trees.
Yeah.
Because I haven't got a decent set of trees. So they're going to be 15 to 28 mil kind of scale agnostic fit within that age.
Get yourself down to Poundland and get some Christmas trees.
Yes, we will play Christmas gaming. So I'm planning on doing a big old bunch of trees at some point. In a kind of Tom style to get loads of trees ready for gaming, because I'll need them for playing with the Uruk-hai and the Fellowship, the breaking of the Fellowship. I'll need them for the World War II gaming. I'll need them for everything. So I'm really looking forward to getting them done. That's going to be a real big addition to my terrain collection. And then I need sort of 15 mil hedges. I want a nice big set of 15 mil hedges, and I need some 15 mil houses as well, for kind of like Oosterbeek, Arnhem Oosterbeek kind of style Dutch houses. So I'm going to be working on some of them at some point as well. Now, the other remaining five then are gaming squares. One is to get, I really want to get a kind of I Ain't Been Shot Mum market garden game in. Probably a number of those, but I need to get those. That's to get my 15 mil collection on the table all in one go. I'd like to do a Chain of Command North Africa campaign, because over the years I've played quite a number of Chain of Command set in North Africa. I've played a campaign in it once, but since then it's been years since I did that, and it's so much fun playing a campaign of it. And I've got loads more models painted for it, loads more support.
We all know the continuing story of the ballad of Sloopy Jones.
What happens to Sloopy Joe? So we will see what happens. And I've got loads of extra support choices to go with that now. So that's going to be really good. So we've got loads of things to play with, which will make that really interesting. I want to play Blood Bowl Sevens.
Ooh,
more. Yeah. Because I've got three teams that I've had in the cupboard for years. I've played a few games with them, but it's Blood Bowl Sevens is a really good, fun, relatively quick way of playing Blood Bowl. So I'd like to get that on the table a number of times this year.
I mean, there are rumours that Sevens is better than Elevens.
Yes, way better.
Yeah.
Way better. Yeah, it's a lot. I find it a lot more fun. But without losing all the complexity that makes it interesting.
Yeah.
The other two aren't actually miniature gaming per se. One is Hex Encounter. So Ed, you might be called in for this one. But that's Combat Commander, which is a card-driven, hex-based World War II game, of which I've got three boxes of it on the shelf, based in Europe, the Mediterranean, and the Pacific. And only one of them has ever been played. You've played me. Yeah, you've played, Tom. You've played Combat Commander Europe with me. And I've played Combat Commander Europe a number of times, but the other two have not had a chance to... Oh, no, that's not true. Pacific's been out once, but Mediterranean has never been out. So I'd like to get some games of that in. It's an excellent system, a really good, fun, satisfying system to play. So I'd really like to get some games of that. And finally, I'd like to do a Star Wars RPG sort of campaign, to run a small campaign of the Star Wars RPG, because I've got all the Age of Rebellion books on my shelf. I've played a few little one-offs, but I'd really like to do a little campaign for some people. So I'm hoping I'll be able to get that in this year. And it'll also serve as an impetus to get some more of my Star Wars miniatures painted up, which I've got waiting in the cupboard. I've got quite a number painted already, but I'd like to get the rest polished off. So I think that would be a nice way of encouraging me to do that. So I think that's my 16, and actually I'm really excited to get started on it.
I think I should have maybe put a box on my list that just says Tom travels on the Central Line a lot, play games.
Oh yes,
yes. My Combat Commander is portable. That might be able to come the other way.
Oh, that sounds really cool. That sounds a really good way of actually like mixing it, but also like a very varied list as well, but also like linking in the things like doing like the RPG, which also gives you the drive to paint up the Star Wars figures and that kind of stuff. And yeah, I was influenced by I'm not getting into Middle-Earth Strategy Battle Game. I know you are. We talked about playing some more of that. We well up for playing some more Chain of Command and all sorts. And I think it's something that we are all looking for more, that we are all in the position as a group of friends and gamers, aren't we? We can, if we want to play something, but we have none of the toys, but we know somebody else who's got the toys for both sides, we can go, actually, I want to dedicate some time to playing with your toys, as you know, the same as like my 6mm ECW stuff, and like the 6mm World War II stuff. I require one of you three, really, to play with it. And yeah, it's just how it works.
If aliens came and took all my toys away tomorrow and I couldn't get any more, I think I could comfortably play for 2 or 3 years just against you three.
Yeah.
And we could
Without using the same model twice,
we could quite comfortably go into our collections and have several very fun games for probably 2 years, I estimate. So, it's good to get these things played with.
Let's do it. Andy.
Yeah.
Is it you? I think it's me. You, are we?
It's the final list of the night.
It's the final countdown. It's me. Ooh, no pressure. So, dear sweet listener, I'd think to myself that I did want to concentrate more on playing games this year. Now, there's some games I know are not going to be an issue to get played, so I haven't really thrown those on because they're inevitably going to happen.
Low-hanging fruit. Get a tick.
Yeah, it's true.
Look at you, Keyforge.
The Keyforge is not on there, but it will happen. Flames of War with Ed. I've got the Hit the Beach set ready to go. I'm looking forward to it. Who doesn't love a little bit of 15 mil tank action, hey? So 15 mil Flames of War. More of the Doomed. I've been having a great time playing the Doomed with Ed. You've been enjoying it, Ed?
Oh, yeah, it's really good. Still getting a lot out of it, yeah.
And at this point, we just have to make, what, a monster a month or two monsters a month?
I've got plenty of monster options up my sleeve still that we haven't used.
Exactly. So, you know, there's the creative process of just really, it's like producing a monster. And we're not, it's not hardcore, like it's Necromunda. You have to convert your models. What's the bonus? You know, what's the, you know, we play a game, a thing happens, we move on. Mm-hmm. I got a weird eye bonus thing, didn't I? I can't remember what it did now. I ignore terrain or something when I shoot my my big splattery gun. There we go. Done. So Flames of War, Doomed. We had talked about doing Leipzig next October. So I've got the Prussians painted and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So they're ready to happen. So that's on there. Xenos Rampant. I'd like to play a bit of Xenos Rampant. I'll go into a bit more detail about what I'm thinking there, but yeah, I just think it'd be fun to play. We've got the rules. I enjoyed playing at Ed before. Mm. Let's give it a go next year. Dux Britanniarum. I have the game. Not Dux, as in put your ducks in a row, but in the hereditary title. The title, the old Roman title, Dux.
No, I can just imagine Dux in Leica Segmentata just marching across the screen.
I mean, we all are now. Let's all just
the
for
Disney
a moment.
Movie you didn't need the Disneyfication of we didn't know. The Conquest of Gaul.
Do you have to know the Romans are ducks? What are the Saxons?
That's a great question, Andy, and the one we'll be pondering all night.
Mallards.
Mallards. No, it's a type of duck.
Romans are geese.
A coot.
That's true. The Romans would be geese.
I think the Saxons would be badgers. There we are.
Wow.
On to the next one. 10mm Hail Caesar. I want to do some more Hail Caesar with Ed. And then I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six other spaces that I'm going to try and fill with other games. I want to get a different game, one per month of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll try my best. So we'll see if I get 12 different games played. I've got those six that I'd like to get played. That's my played box. Paint-wise, I've got some more Flames of War. I've got the Clash of Steel and some Falchion Jäger paint. I want to get the Flames of War stuff done. I have a Blood Bowl team of the old metal 90s Chaos All-Star collection that I managed to pick up over the years. Get that painted. I have a Blood Bowl Slam team. So, frogs playing American football, what's not to love? I've got some 10mm Beastmen that Sam has been lovingly printing out for me. So I'm going to try and get those painted. Again, I think it's going to be quite an easy. Can you paint brown? Can you dry brush? Can you pick out some bits of metal? Winner. I've got a load of 40k Eldar from the 90s.
Wow.
I'm gonna paint up and hopefully play Xenos Rampant with.
Oh, I see.
we can take on your orcs, Ed.
Yes.
I've got this weird urge, actually, that I want to see if Sam can print me out some legally distinct space marines.
Uh-huh.
In like 10 or 15 mil. And then make little bases that are just a whole squad, like five men or 10 men on a base. And play Xenos Rampant with like a smaller version of what Tom's doing for 6mm. Is it smaller or bigger? I'm not sure. I'm so confused by scale now. But literally, you just have the bases per unit and you move the bases around and play Xenos Rampant with the bases and some dice to keep track or something. But I think that could be quite fun.
Yeah.
So it's not quite Legion Imperialis. It's something halfway between that and 28mm. So a whole base of guys, but they're like 10 or 15 mil.
We saw a bunch of people playing something like that at Joyous Six using small-scale sci-fi and using Xenos Rampant to play. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just think it'd be fun.
It looks really good, and it makes, I think, that as the game system, it makes it work really well. You go, yeah, this thing's got like 10 skill, like 10 health points, and you've just got 10 little figures on the base.
Yeah. So
it works really well, and it just lets you play really quickly.
Yeah. I think that's just a little box. I like the idea of Legion Imperialis, but I kind of like they're too small, I think. I don't know. I just think, yeah. Well, whatever. It sounds fun. Will I do it? I don't know. I mean, I talked about painting a Duchy of Warsaw army, but I have not put that on there because I'm like, there's quite a lot of stuff on there already, I think. Mm-hmm. And of course, for Tom, as is the tradition, last space in my paint box is Carthaginians.
We've got Hail. You want to play more Hail Caesar? Get them painted. We can play Hail. Get them painted. We can play Hail Caesar with them.
10 mil. I want to play them in 10 mil. Hail Caesar. 6 mil too small for Hail Caesar.
Come on, Andy. Get them done. That's a. Come on. You need to do it.
I mean, I've reduced myself to 6 things. Although the Flames of War is quite a bit of Flames of War to get done, but.
You could do that in the evening. You'd knock it out in an evening. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know. I just seem to be busy these days as my son's getting older. Football practice and rugby practice and, you know, all that kind of nonsense. And you just find the time to get it done.
It's much better to be practical. I think it's much better to be realistic and go, I'm going to what I want to try and do rather than be like overly ambitious and then be stressed that you're not doing it or just lie to yourself. But I think it sounds from all of us that this sort of, I know on the show many times we say, oh, how it's great just to keep playing the same game all the time.
Yeah.
It sounds like we're actually all like binning that idea for this year and actually want to play loads of games. But like, I'm actually looking at probably like this year, I think I'm probably going to look at it more as like an experimental year to find more what games do I actually like and what do I want to play.
Yeah.
And then going, right. I like this game. This can go in like my future rotation sort of thing and gives maybe like even more. So in a way, like I hadn't really realized until you'd all done your games list. I've sort of like in a way done my list kind of already thinking about in a way, maybe like 2025 and go like if I play Xena's Rampant and I find I really like it, I might think, oh, I'm going to be doing more weird sci-fi stuff next year. Same as like, I'm probably going to play some Space Weirdos and some stuff with Ed. Mm. If I find I actually don't really like Xena's Rampant when I start playing it more, then I might just find that like any like weird sci-fi stuff sort of goes off and I just focus more on like, you know, if we find that like, yeah, you know, Once Upon a Time in the West Country or this new like Lardy's game is really fun for like skirmish ECW, could then see myself doing like lots more.
I thought you were going to say the skirmish sci-fi.
Yeah, skirmish sci-fi.
That's what we're all doing it now in the buff for service sci-fi. Skirmish sci-fi. I was looking up this list of 6 Flames of War I haven't played. Doom we played. Leipzig will be Black Powder probably. We've played that. Xena's Rampant we've played. Dux Britannia we haven't played. And Hail Caesar we have played. So what's that? 33% of those 6 I haven't played. So hang on. Quick math. 66% we have played. So it's not massively changing for me.
Nice.
I just want to play more. I just want to play more and not worry about getting stuff painted. That I hope if I have a smaller paint list, I might buy less as well. But we'll see if that actually materializes. I've just got lots of stuff to paint. I don't need any more stuff right now.
No, I don't really need any more stuff. I'd imagine I'll get a few bits as presents, but apart from that, I'm not planning on buying an awful lot of stuff.
I mean, I'm looking at Salute in my brain now because that's the next one up, and I'm like, what would I want to buy? I mean, I'm quite tempted by the idea of just like slowly painting some red coat colonials, sort of Zulu.
They're fun.
Battle scene kind of guys. I like taking a year to paint like 20 of them or something, and just like real slow burn. I think that'll pass. Sometimes you just get an idea for a project and you say to yourself, that'll pass. Certainly shouldn't buy 6 boxes of plastic Portuguese.
I was just going to say, Salute is one of those things where now I've worked out that I can have really fun Salute without buying a thing, which is I bought some books last time. That's all I got.
Then you went straight to the pub 10 minutes after it opened.
I think it's just that, like, with like the especially like with social media and like following all the companies and all that sort of stuff and seeing stuff, you just, I think, like, I know I'm very much like burnt out by the content host, so you just like, you don't follow it as much, and it's not like I don't have like a burning like hobby budget in my pocket to spend stuff. And it's like, as much as like, I know, like, when I realized that like all three of you are now like involved in like 15 mil World War II in a way, I was thinking like, oh, I could just like check out like how much, like have a look at like the Plastic Soldier Company stuff, because I know they're not very expensive.
No.
But then I was just thinking like, yeah, but then they're just going to turn up and they're just going to need painting. And they're just going to be right there, like, yeah, sat on the shelf going like, here's your fourth scale World War II, Tom.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to struggle for some models to play with, Tom.
No. So it's just like, it's just like one of those things where sometimes you have to go like, boom, that's cool. And then it can go in the bin. Like, something I have no initial plans at the moment to, but if we find this like pre-modern skirmishing works well with the ECW stuff, I might well look into doing some like revolutionary French stuff, because like I know like Ed, you're quite interested in that as well, aren't you? I think you're more interested than I am, but I think there are some like gorgeous models for that, and like I'd never really want to do like a full army, but like, you know, a dozen or so figures, or just like a small band of figures, might be a fun.
Ooh, Tom, and if Flashing Blades comes out, the Lardy's sort of small scale dueling type game played on a like 2x2 board with about four or models aside, something like that.
Yeah.
That would definitely work. Yeah.
Sometimes you just want a taster or something. You don't want to paint 100 models. You just want to do like 12.
Like 28 mil Italian wars. I'd like to paint maybe like about 10 figures. I think you want to go like, this is the only like pair of like slashed velvet and silk pants I'm painting. I don't want to paint 400 of these.
I mean, you wear them all day, Tom. You wouldn't want to have to paint them as well, would you?
Well, you got to put some of us put an effort into what we wear when we're recording over Skype.
I know.
I think for Salute this time, I'm gonna be looking for little bits of scatter terrain.
Oh yeah,
Salute's quite good for that.
Yes, I do that as well.
It's like, great. That's
you just find a little something to go on the table.
Little nugget, like a little engine or a little, you know, a little bush or something. Just looks great. You just get it and just add it to your collection.
I never knew I needed some like resin cast chest freezers.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Then you see them, you're like, yes.
That's exactly what I need.
Coming home with me. Well, I think on chest freezers, I think that's probably a good point to leave this check. So thank you very much, everyone, for recording tonight. Thank you, listeners, for listening to us. Thank you also, listeners, for listening to us all year. It's been great to, you know, waffle on at you on many a tangent on the dozens of episodes we've put out this year. Now, there is a Christmas episode special that's coming out, I think probably 2 days' time, so we'll be out on Christmas Day for you, where Ed and I review a war game related film, and then we'll be back in the new year. Not 100% sure when exactly we're going to be recording, because we are all now about to depart for Christmas time with families and such. So we will see you back in January. Happy hobbying over the Christmas period. And that's a goodbye from me.
If you've been affected by any of the subjects discussed in tonight's Hobby Support Group Oval List episode, please, please reach out to us on the Facebook group. And if you've really enjoyed it, why not become a patron? Because we love our patrons. They keep us on the air. There's also a goodbye and have a lovely festive break. I hope Santa brings you what you need. If not, Leon at Pendraken, I'm sure, will pop in the post.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to everyone. And however you choose to celebrate the season. I'm looking forward to playing all the games that we plan to play with my free podcasting and real life friends. So 2024, I'm sure we'll have plenty of fun of the tabletop variety in store.
Absolutely. And I hope that you all manage to get lots of time with friends over the coming year to actually Get your models on the table, roll some dice, and spend some quality time with your pals as you play your games.
You're right, Ben. That's the thing. That's the thing. It's not about painting models. It's about getting together with friends to play games.
Absolutely.
That note, we'll say goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Oh.